Facing challenges and overcoming setbacks is part of doing business. Whether you have the expertise to survive them or not could mean the difference between success or failure. Welcome to We Are Women, featuring revealing conversations that provide invaluable insights into the success secrets of female masterminds. A must-listen for every entrepreneurial woman. Now here's your host, Janine Vosper.
Hi, it's Janine Vosper, and welcome to this episode of the We Are Women podcast. Super excited that you could join us here, and super excited to have Deb Feder all the way from Kansas City. Did you say no? Was that? It is Kansas
yep.
City. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's one of the places in the US I haven't been yet, Deb. So but I think we get so many movies here in Australia that you can visualize a lot of places. Oh, that looks familiar. I know I've been to New York a couple of times, and you walk around New York, you know, and in our conversation just before we jumped on, you said you were headed there for a week. Everything looks familiar. It's really interesting.
Totally.
How that works out as a movie fans. Let me tell you a little bit about Deb before we get started in the conversation. Deb is the CEO of Feder Developments LLC. It's a business development and practice management strategist, a coach for lawyers and law firms. So our lawyers, please pay attention. Deb has got an incredible amount of experience that she'll be able to assist you with her work, which focus on helping lawyers and professionals bring in consistent clients through curious, confident conversations. For more than a decade, she has committed herself to changing the way we think about the work-life balance, building healthy careers, and tackling high-stakes work, allowing for big careers while enjoying free time. We're so much on the same path here, Deb. This is such an important factor that I advocate for all of my clients as well. You've got to have that balance and what that looks like for everyone. So prior to founding the Feder Development, Deb practiced corporate law for 15 years and holds a history degree from the University of Michigan and a joint JD MBA from the University of Iowa. Deb completed her coach training and certification with New Ventures West and completed training in The Daring Way, which is based on research by Dr. Brené Brown. Deb is an author of After Hello, How to Build a Book of Business, One Conversation at a Time, and Tell Me More, Building Trusted Client Relationships Through Everyday Interactions. She is also contributing author and best-selling anthology, Networked, and she is a frequent speaker at conferences, podcasts, hence being here, corporate retreats on business development, business healthy careers, productivity, networking, and communication. Whoa, that is a lot there, Deb, but I just resonate with
that. That's a big list.
I just read out there. That's incredible. So, yeah, that whole work-life balance, it throws people out when they start thinking about that, doesn't it? And it's feel that they can't achieve that.
You know what's funny is that years ago I was talking to somebody and they said, well, when the company wants to give me work-life balance, let me know. And I said, I have some really bad news. I don't think it comes wrapped in a box with a bow and you open it. And I said, and in fact, I don't think we want it that way, because I think that balance and what that means for each of us at different seasons in our life, at different stages, mm-hmm. needs to be really defined by our own self. And yes, there are absolutely things that institutions can do to support healthy careers, which is really how I like to talk about it now. But it's something that evolves and you find your own stride with it, right?
Absolutely. And every stage of your life, it looks completely different. I know, you know, when I was a parent of young children, that, you know, trying to fit in work around children. And for me, I created a career in a business as an aerobic instructor because that fitted well. I could take my children with me. There was always daycare at the centres. So that was that. What I've done all the way through my career is, what am I doing now and how can I educate, feed myself so that in the next 10 years, I'll be able to do that fits into my lifestyle as well. it's, I don't know many people that sort
okay,
of.
The fact that you were an aerobic instructor, the fact that you were an aerobic instructor, I've got 1,000 questions now. Like, most of all, like, how you're coordinated enough. I'm that person in the back that like really match like the movements, but goes along because their friends are going. Yeah. So I'm in awe of that.
it's the body, you know, after 10 years, the body started to fail because I also, you know, ran and trained and did a whole lot of other crazy things myself.
Right.
And the body now, you know, at 65 is going, I remember when you were doing that at 30 and 40. It's a bit of a different space. But yes, it's that coordination. And I, you know, I've been trying to get my husband dancing for years, but you either got it or you haven't. I'm sorry, Deb.
I think that's fair. I can do a little bit, but I'm definitely like always in the beginner class. Let's just say it that way.
Yeah. No, my favorite was step, and that, you know, you'd be dancing around the whole step and all of that, which is great.
I miss step aerobics. Can we talk about like what happened to step? Like, it used to be such a thing, and it's gone.
I know. And I think it's all the people's knees that gave out on them. I think that
true.
Was
Oh, totally true.
That was definitely my favorite
yes.
thing to do. It's, and look, you know, that balance then for me, I had been working full time, had children, and went, okay, what can I create now that's going to give me the life I want with my children and also earn some income? And while I was doing that, I sold gymware for a company as well, which, you know, go into the gym, sell. This is in the 80s, selling $1,000 worth of gymwear a night, which was pretty handy. And then teaching aerobics as well. But it was created, and I'm very much into that.
I love that. Yeah. I talk about it as like, we have to have the career we want, and it should be able to be as big as we want for the life we want to live right now and what we're building for the future.
And it's really interesting. I put out quotes each day, and today's quote is very much about you being the driver of your own life and you creating the life that you want through the choices that you make. And I think a lot of times we forget that. We get so allow other people or influences or the company we work for to control what we're doing, or that sense of I have no control. So no, I've got no balance.
You know, I think that while I love social media, I'm clearly, you know, I use LinkedIn most of the time. I do have, you know, a little bit of, you know, on other platforms. But I think the issue with social media, the good and the bad of it, is that like we're more connected and we can see things that we didn't used to see. The issue is that like there's this idea of like this like perfect, like beautifully presented life that's not real. Right. It's maybe a snapshot, maybe a glimpse. And if that's what we're striving for, we're always going to feel like we're missing the mark. And instead, we need to realize that, like, yes, you can have these beautiful moments, but there's a lot of hard work that goes into creating those and making that a part of a much bigger, much richer picture.
And I have, you know, I have people, I network a lot. That's where my clients are. So I'm out and about, and I have people commenting, you know, going, oh, I know you, or I see you everywhere, and which is exactly, you know, when I'm teaching branding, that's what it's all about. But it's, again, it's created it. It, you know, it's what I've done to go, well, this is where I am now in this phase in life, and I have the opportunity. I don't have children at home. Grandchildren hang with their parents most of the time, and you just sort of, I do what I want to do. That's a different thing, isn't it? Want to do.
It's very different than doing what you want to do and knowing that it lights you up and energizes you is very different than doing it because you think it's what you're supposed to do or how you're supposed to do it. And I think we both talk about networking and professional presence and branding and creating your career in a way that works for you, but it all is about what do you want to cultivate and how are you making choices that align with that?
Yes. And I mean, your work is mostly with professionals?
Yes. Most of the work that I do is either with lawyers, accountants, consultants, those that are working with clients, sharing their expertise and experience, really as part of the work that they do.
Really interesting. I presented at a conference, this is a few years ago now, and it was all women in leadership roles. And some of them were, you know, the CEO of hospitals, even it was senior government positions. And I was meant to be presenting on a topic, and I can't even think what it was now, probably communication. And during the lunch break, I'm just listening to conversations between a lot of the women. And it so surprised me how lack of confidence and belief in themselves, and that then leading to how many hours they were working a week and what they needed to achieve and, you know, how their families were missing out. I was just listening to all these conversations. It's when I started my presentation, my first challenge was for people to identify what do they do for themselves. It surprised me. I finished school at 15. I have educated myself all of my year since then. Yeah, in Australia,
that's amazing.
That's what you did in the 70s. You finish school. A lot of kids finish school when they're 15 year old in junior. But then, you know, spent hundreds of thousands of dollars since learning from some of the best coaches and trainers in the world. But these women were degreed, masters, PhDs, and they were lacking that ability to believe in themselves, which then led to this, I got to push to achieve.
So it's interesting that you mentioned that. In Tell Me More, I talk about leading a workshop for women leaders, and it was a magical couple of days. And we got to the end and I was like, what is the one thing you're going to do that keeps this work moving forward when you leave here? And person after person shared with me, as soon as I get organized, I'm going to jump into this. I'm going to go back. And as soon as I tackle this, I'll be ready. I need to do this first to be able to set the platform. And it really changed the way that I work. And it made me change the way that I thought about, are we ready? Right. And how can we know that it's okay to not feel totally ready or totally like we have it all pulled together and go ahead and start working towards our goals right now, rather than waiting for it all to come together?
What you're saying then is that, is it still an avoidance?
I don't think it's an avoidance. I think that like we like to do things. First of all, I think we've been taught that there's a certain order, like do this, plan, prepare, make sure all the ducks are in a row, and then you'll be ready. So I think that's part of it. I also think that we want to feel like we've got some spaciousness. And in our world right now, we've got a lot going on. We are doing so much. And all that pushing that you're talking about makes it feel like, how in the world am I going to fit one more thing in here right now? Right. And I've also had the experience of facilitating groups. And when you sit down and say, okay, let's start with what you're really great at. And the answer is naturally to tell me what they're not good at. Well, I can tell you what I don't know. And I'm like, that actually wasn't the question. I've got a list of things that I do not do well. I started up aerobics, right? I'm not great at it. But being able to own and not feel like you're being too much, maybe, I think is always sometimes a worry. And owning that, like, you're really good at this. And how do you step into that with confidence and grace and in a way that connects with clients rather than separates you?
That's what are you good at is such a struggle for a lot of people to answer. And the other component of that, I run a retreat, branding retreat with a stylist and a photographer, and I help pull people's stories together. So we end up with a brand storybook. What do you like about yourself? And what do you like about the way you look? There are other questions that we ask. And that is a struggle. It's, you know, fine. But what we then do is get other people in the group to tell them after they've been there together for a few days instead. And it's such an emotional space where people don't recognize things within themselves that they go, well, that's just what happens. Or, you know, that if we find criticism, we look in the mirror, we find criticism, there's so much that we find fault with ourselves. So is this part of it? Is this part of why we don't, and I'm going to use honor ourselves enough to go, hey, I am worth it. I am worth taking a 3-day weekend. I am worth making sure that I get out in nature. I am worth it.
I think truthfully, we're not practiced in it as much, right? Like, we're practiced in finding the gaps, finding the challenge, knowing what we need to work on, knowing where we have maybe not a weakness, but like just something that like we don't know how to do. We can identify that side much easier because we don't practice that I'm great at this, I'm worth this as much. So I always have little exercises, and funny. So, you know, for those that are listening, you know, you and I are on different sides of the world. I also run retreats and I also bring in a photographer, and it's magical what happens at the end of a few days together when you come together and then have the support of others around you while you're doing something that often people try to avoid, right? And I think that we have to practice it. Like, it's something that it's just not, you didn't sit down in school and somebody say, write down everything you're great at. They say, write your goals on what you want to work on next.
Mm.
That makes right? Like,
yeah, a lot of sense. But not, you know, that we haven't practiced it. Well, one of the things that I do when I speak, and this sort of lends into that, is I tell people to go and do something that makes them uncomfortable every day. And it can just be something really small. But until you practice getting uncomfortable, you can't just, you know, bungee jump off a cliff if you're not going to be comfortable. But if you can just make one phone call that you didn't want to make, then that's a step in that direction. So that really is what you're saying. It's just not practiced.
And we do have to get uncomfortable. And it's often just picking up the phone or leaving a voicemail or sending the email that you've been stressing about. For me, I was given the task of learning to knit. And it turns out I'm worse at that than I am at aerobics. But trying to learn something new is like, it's a muscle.
Yeah. No, I get that. My learning something new. Do you play golf at all, Deb?
So I have two kids who are competitive golfers. I golf just enough to be taken along on the course. And when necessary, I can hit the funny shot that puts everybody in a better mood. That's how much I golf. But I know the game because I've followed it for years.
Yeah.
Do you golf?
I do try and play once a week, and I'm not a wet weather golfer. If it looks like it's going to rain, I won't go out and play, but I do play, I do play once a week, and that doesn't make you a great golfer playing once a week, but it's, I've been doing it for a few years and I can hit a ball and fortunately I can putt well, which makes a bit of difference. But golf is one of those things where, and you would attest to this, that you think you're getting it. And all of a sudden, the next shot is totally—it's totally wrong, and the reason is not enough practice. Once a week for me is not enough to get the muscle memory and I'm going to say reliable. I'm trying. There's another word, but you know, you can repeat the same thing.
The consistency. That's the consistency. Yeah. So, can I tell you the best golf advice I've ever heard? So of course I follow along. I've sat through a gajillion lessons of my kids, and a golf pro years ago, one of my son's coaches, he was practicing putting, and he was young at the time. And he said, your issue here is that you're aiming towards the pin. He goes, you got to stop. You're aiming wrong. And he said, stop aiming just for the hole. And my son and I both were like, what do you mean? That's what you're supposed to do. Like, you want the ball to go, you're right, in the hole. He said, no, widen out the view. Think of it as 2 feet around the hole and aim for that. You're far more likely to get the ball in, but when you widen out your view. And I was like, that's incredible mm-hmm. leadership advice, yeah. Right? Like, I was like, okay, this is a great golf lesson, but I've got other questions, right? So I think that, again, when we do step outside our desks, go learn something new, there's really such great lessons that apply back to what we're doing.
It's certainly, I love that. Widen out your view. And definitely going to apply that to my golf tomorrow. And I will, but I'm going to use that as a tool for coaching, because that's just, it's what you said. It makes a difference in every aspect of your life when you're so driven and focused on one point that you, well, one, miss opportunities often because you don't see them or you're not open to them. But it just means that, and the other thing I'm thinking as well, it means that if you don't quite hit the mark, you can accept that you've done well to get there.
Yes. And that, yeah, like you can celebrate a bigger piece of it, right? Like you're not waiting for the absolute perfect shot to celebrate, right? You're celebrating the fact that you're within the 2-foot range. Now, it doesn't mean you're still not going to play it all the way in, right? But you're still not grasping for, I only want that. It's like when somebody says to me, I'm only going after this one target client, right? If you get super fixated on that one goal, you miss, to your point, the opportunity that is all around you and the other conversations and the other clients that really would have been fantastic had you noticed them.
And that's part of that building conversations and building relationships and seeing other opportunities and not being just blindsided by your drive and your focus. And I'm thinking, and I do this all the time, I go into visuals, you know, I'm thinking the horses that are blinkered, that's the word I was after, that are blinkered, and they're racing towards the end of the track because they've got those blinkers on and they can't see what's around them. And I see that happen with people all the time. It's particularly, I tend to work with a lot of people in their own business, and they are very focused on that one spot they want to get to.
And look, goals are great and having an idea of where you want to go. But again, can we widen out that view? And maybe capture some more conversations, some new connections that really might inspire you for the next best thing.
I don't know about you. I'm just looking at how many, I've got two screens here with a few things open on different screens.
Okay.
Not like quite a few. It's that multitasking, isn't it, too? We're just sort of distracting, you know, that is that distracting us from seeing things if we're trying to achieve all these different things.
I think so. So I like to focus on single tasking, right? Which is not the idea that we're going to only do one thing until the end, right? And it's not about just blocking time, but can you find a way to work so that you focus the right amount of time on the right tasks and be able to shift and transition better? I think it's really hard to transition from, you know, 10 screens and a whole bunch of tabs open to a conversation, right? And how do we retrain ourselves to deal with the noise?
Yes, the noise of a couple of things, the noise of I've got to do this, or I should have done that. That this is the noise that is in our mind that we're thinking that we've got to do and got to do and got to do. But it's also a lot of office spaces or environments or, you know, workspaces are now filled with noise also, and we're expected to adapt and be able to function and achieve our best results with that.
So interestingly, years ago, I have a project that I do with people called the Door Project. And it's really all about finding when you're kind of struggling with what's next. It's a creative intelligence project. And years ago, I had somebody complete the project and they came back with some very just flat pictures, which were fine. I mean, the pictures were fine, but the more we talked about them, they said, these aren't me. And I asked, where did you create these? And they created them at the office, and they worked in a very high intense startup environment. And I said, what would happen if we just try something? Let's give this one more week and just find time and space away from the office. to try this. The pictures and the work that came back to me was so intricate and beautiful. I couldn't believe it was actually done from the same person. If you want the truth, like I was like, did you like, you know, trace this or something? No, what that was is that their creativity had been shut down working in the old environment. But when they were able to step away and get some space, get just a breath of fresh air, they were able to create something. And we actually started then translating that into their work, which made just the world of difference.
Yeah, I can really believe how that could make a difference. And are you finding that now? Because you'd be working with more people that might not be going into the office now. I don't know how it is in the US, but in Australia, there's a real issue with people not returning to the office, and they're trying to get people back because, you know, a whole lot of reasons around that. Does that make someone a bit more creative or a bit more distracted if they're working from home?
I think it could be either. Yeah. I think it depends, right? I think it's also about how do you create the transition times, right? And how do you focus on what you need to focus on wherever you are choosing to work, right? And I think the more that we have a world that can connect by Zoom, by phone, by email, all the things that have evolved over the last few decades, we have to be really intentional about our conversations, our connections, our how we network, remembering people. It's not like it used to be when you just walked down the hall and you ran into people. You went out to lunch, you know, downtown, and you could find your community. Now we have to create that. So if it's not going into an office, right, or you're working with people across the globe, how do you create those moments that you can really pause, pay attention, and have the conversations?
That is a really good question, because that is so different when you're in that, in the space at home, as opposed to the relationships that you build. You have that, the conversation about what somebody did on the weekend, and you build those relationships. You get to know those people a lot more in depth. But if you're working by yourself, that's just not going to happen. And that's one of the concerns that they're trying to get people back into their office space, is because of that community.
You know, and I think that I always say to people, listen, reaching out to people, even when your people are like, oh, it's going to be awkward, they're not going to want to hear from me, I'm like, no, we are made to connect with each other, right? And people really do appreciate the conversations. So go ahead, make the first move, reach out, say it's been way too long.
Oh, I'm the one that does all that all the time with family and friends, you know. Oh, we haven't seen each other for ages. I just sort of give them a call. And, you know, sometimes a lot of the time when I call, they will go, I was just thinking about you, or yes, we need to get together, or what it is. It is important to keep those connections. One of the reasons I network so much is exactly for that reason, is to be able to, because I work from a home space. I've got a lovely office, and I'm sitting here at the moment, I'm looking outside. It is heading to 27 degrees today in Brisbane, which is Celsius, probably about 80 something, I think.
Yeah.
Sun's out, I'm looking at the pool. There's all birds flying past as I'm sitting here. It's a really lovely environment, but I need people. I'm part of a networking group, and I get the list through with what meetings, in-person meetings, are on somewhere around within 50 kilometers of me. Today it's Monday, and I'm looking, okay, which ones am I going to? What can I fit in around everything that I'm doing this week? Because I need people, and I think we all need people at some stage.
I liked people to look, I do a session often with my clients where we look ahead at the whole week, and I do this as a group, and I'll say, can you find a chance to connect with somebody, whether it's a colleague, a client, a friend, a neighbor, I don't really care who it is, every single day. Do you have one touch base with somebody that's not just transactional, right? Like, here's the document. Do you have any review? Like, can we even pause for 5 minutes for a conversation? And then also, do you have time on your calendar every day for you? right? And putting, like, kind of back to what we were talking about, like, are we putting ourselves on the calendar? Are we prioritizing ourselves as much as we prioritize others?
Yes. And yeah, we're definitely on the same page. And that's one of the things I talk to clients about. I have always been, I get my calendar at the beginning of the year. I block out my holidays. I do it right from the beginning of the year. And I've done that many, many years. And when I was in a general manager role for a multi-million-dollar company for 20 years, and my screensaver was the next holiday, the next overseas adventure. So that was if I was ever, you know, I'd stress from the job or anything, I'd just look at my screensaver and go, right, yes, it's off to Hawaii or it's off to Iceland or Turkey or wherever, all the different wonderful places I've had the opportunity to travel to. And for me, that was my motivation and inspiration in that position. But it just meant that I had already everything planned, and or I've got long weekends planned. And if they're not in your, I've spoken to people about this for years. If it's not in your diary, it's not going to happen. It needs to be there. And now after 20 years, we have a really good long service opportunity in Australia. So you get 10 weeks for every 10 years or 4 weeks for every 10 years that they give you an extra holiday. So we get 4 weeks holiday anyway, and we get 4 weeks for every 10 years that we have been of service to a business. So I was there 20 years and you know, I had a lot of, I left that business with no holidays and no long service left.
That's amazing.
Took everything.
That's amazing. It is hard, and it's hard to craft it out. And I think that there's a way to do it so that you're not coming back to a crunch, mm-hmm. right? And building, part of building your teams, and we could talk about that for hours, yeah. is how do you build it so that, like, people have got your back so you can step away? Right. And whether it's for a holiday or for something in life happening, whatever it might be, like, knowing how to balance all that is so important. So I love the screensaver idea. I first of all have to figure out how to make a screensaver, but then I'm going to go do that.
At the moment, mine is Machu Picchu, which is where the next, I'm heading off to Sri Lanka in a few weeks' time, and then Machu Picchu for 25 at some stage.
That's amazing.
Always other things on the way. But it's, even if you can't do long holidays, it's just long weekends. But part, you said about team, and that's a whole different conversation. But knowing that you enable other people to be able to do something, I think that was my biggest learning in that role, was handing off work tasks to other people so that they could learn the skills, and I didn't come back to a mess. I came back to, the work had to be done and it was done, and other people had the opportunity to shine. And that, I'm a big advocate of, you know, delegating and giving people responsibility, because sometimes, most of the time, they don't have that opportunity to shine themselves, and it's a real blessing to them to be able to know that you trust them to do something.
And telling somebody that you see that they are ready for it, or that you're excited for them to get the chance to try something and do it differently, is often really empowering.
Yes. Yeah. And the amount of people that just even burst into tears when you've said that to them, that you know, of course you've got this, you'll be able to do this. And it's just triggers something, you know, that they didn't really realize that they could, or think that they could, but knowing someone else.
I remember calling a woman years ago and saying, I'd like to talk to you about stepping into this leadership role. And for the first several minutes, she said, you can't possibly be meaning to call me about this. And I said, I 100% am meaning to be on the phone with you, and you're ready. And watching and being a part of the transformation to, like, really seeing somebody believe in themselves and confidently, not just take it, but take it and get excited and own it, is just awesome. It's great. It's part of what I love about what I get to do, right? Like, we always start with, like, what do you want that ginormous goal to be? I just want it to be okay. Like, I want us to be happy dancing and turning cartwheels together. And we'll find the possibility. We'll find the path. And it's so amazing to watch people get to do that and own it and be a just shining a light on others.
Yeah, definitely. And that's my thing with coaching. You know, I'm in a very fortunate position. My husband's retired. I can choose to do what I do. And I still choose to continue doing what I do because of that exact reason. It's other people just finding that belief within themselves and their capacity to shine and do well. The part, I mean, I know with the, particularly with the introduction and your books that you've, it's very, a lot of it comes down to communication and networking, doesn't it? A lot of what you do, Dan?
It does.
And we've talked a little bit about building networks, but are there any tips or techniques or that someone can go, oh, I can do that? That would be simple enough. You said about the phone calls, but is there anything
that you... Yeah, so I actually believe in the everyday interactions. So instead of thinking you need to like find that like ideal conversation and go plan for it and stress about it, let's start with the everyday moments that we already have. So thinking about focus on 4 or 5 categories, right? Like your current clients, former clients, colleagues, friends, neighbors, and then people that you know in the community or your lost connections. And if you just pick one person from each of those categories and say, you know what, this week, I'm just going to send a simple email to set up a conversation, to find out how they're doing, not to pitch, not to stress, not to make this overly complicated, just to jumpstart back into the conversation. That's all it really takes. Because once we do that, we can navigate the conversation from small talk to learning about what their business is right now or what they're focused on right now. And it starts to be a conversation of how you can help, other introductions that they need, advice they are looking for. It reminds them, like to your point earlier, of, oh, you're here and I actually could use your help. That's amazing. Let's do that, right? And it moves the progression towards building your book, bringing in business, growing your career, very simply through some very straightforward everyday interactions. So that's where I would start is, and then once you've reached, like, so you've reached out to a current client, the trick is now you have to refill the bucket. Who's the next current client you want to talk to?
One of the coaching things I sent to my clients last week, they've got a weekly challenge, and their weekly challenge was to call five past clients and have a conversation. Do not sell them anything. Do not pitch to them. Do nothing. Have a conversation. Just check and see how they're going. And
it makes
the caller a lot more comfortable because I'm not trying to pitch business. I'm just going to have a conversation. And it's that practice thing that we talked about earlier too, isn't it?
Yep. And it just allows you to take a deep breath and navigate one step at a time, rather than thinking, again, you're not going right in and it's only successful if you hit the pin. What you're looking to do is just engage in the conversations, find out what expertise of yours they're interested in. It'll help inform what you're posting on LinkedIn or on other social media, what articles you want to write, what conferences you want to show up at. It is going to help inform so much of the whole picture of your career if you start thinking about it as one conversation at a time.
Yeah, that's, and it's not as scary. It's, again, it's doing one thing that makes you uncomfortable each day. So it might make you uncomfortable picking up the phone, but it's just one thing. And when you're not trying to, you're just trying to have a conversation. That's it. I'm working with an orthopedic resident at the moment, and just helping him have conversations, really. That's all I'm doing, and giving him the confidence. And the first, because he just got engaged, and he's got this fabulous story about what he did, took his partner to Europe, surprised her, all this sort of thing. And he said he was at a dinner party and someone said to him, oh, I just heard you got engaged. And he said, yes. How's your day? Fine. And he didn't realize that people wanted to know more. It just had never dawned on him that people wanted to know more. We've been working on conversations, and he's finding now at the hospital within his team, people are coming to him and telling him things that they never had in the past because he expanded on his conversation and asked them questions.
That's really where the book Tell Me More came from, right? Was like, all we want to do is set up conversations such that somebody pauses and says, tell me more. Mm-hmm. Or when you're lost and you don't quite know how to respond, you pause and turn to somebody and say, tell me more, and allow kind of back to the, it, you know, all these things flow together. When we pause, we stop trying to multitask, like actually pay attention to the conversation. What we hear and what we don't hear informs so much, and it allows that expansiveness to happen.
Definitely. I know when I was in the GM role, I was terribly guilty of not listening. I'd be working away and someone would be at my door. They'd be telling me things and I'd hear it and I'd act on it or give information or something, but I wasn't hearing it. And since having had the podcast now for the last 7 or 8 years, I hear things much, much better. And I stop and pay attention to what somebody is saying. I know I'm guilty of being distracted as well, as we all have, but it's
we all are
so much better at doing it.
It's really interesting. I once was given the challenge of a daily meditation where I actually paused and listened to all the noise around me. And inevitably at first I was like, it's perfectly quiet. And then you go like 2 or 3 minutes in and all of a sudden there's so much noise that you never heard until you just pause and practice listening.
Mm. I think it's one of the biggest skill that you can have if you are, just anybody. I think it's useful in any relationship. Oh,
for everybody,
at all.
for all things, as a parent, as a spouse, as a teammate, as a coach, whatever it is, like if you can learn to just pause. And I tell people, our brains naturally jump ahead. Like, oh my gosh, they're going to say this and I'm going to say this. And then you don't even know what they said because you were so busy thinking about your response. Mm-hmm. That if you just take a deep breath and say, tell me a little bit more about that, you're now going to regroup back into the conversation and allow yourself to have a more meaningful reply.
Mm. So tell me a little bit more about that, Deb.
Okay. So if, you know, I'll tell me more. So, you know, we get into these conversations and especially with a client or somebody we want to impress, and our brain naturally in that flow of conversation jumps to the next thing we want to say. When we do that, we're often not listening to what somebody's actually they're still talking and you've lost track of what they're actually wanting to know about. So my first thing I ask people to do is to take 2 deep breaths before responding. And in those 2 deep breaths, if you actually don't know what they said, you have to kind of ask. Now, you don't want to say, I'm sorry, my brain just completely jumped away from the conversation. So instead, a very natural thing to say is, listen, tell me a little bit more about what you're thinking, right? Tell me a little bit more about that. Mm-hmm. And it allows you to pause, re-engage, allows them to expand, right? And the conversation then to flow more naturally and more, you know, cohesively. Whereas if you don't, you're jumping in and they're like, it's not what I asked.
Yeah.
Right. And now you've created a disconnect. So practicing the pause and asking yourself, do I know what we're talking about here? Like, do I need more information? Is an okay first step.
I practice the pause as a speaker coach. That's one of the things I teach all the time. Practice the pause. And there is a punctuation at the end of every sentence, whether you're speaking it or you're reading it, you'll notice it. I have to tell you a story about that. One of the first interviews I did on the We Are Women podcast was a woman who teaches tantra sex. It's
okay.
It's interesting. All right. It's
okay.
Allowing a lot more.
I'm not sure where this is going, but okay.
Allowing a lot more free flow of in relationships. Yeah. I got distracted. There was an air conditioner. I was actually interviewing her face to face in a studio, and there was a air conditioner that played up something. And I, for a few seconds, I've just totally lost it. And this conversation could have gone anywhere. And I have done that. I've gone, That sounds like I need to hear that again. Can you repeat that, please? It was basically a way of saying to tell me more, but
Yes.
I just went, oh, I don't know how to respond to what she said,
But
because I don't know
yes,
what
you're
she
like,
said.
I
It could have
gotta,
been
yeah, I
anything.
gotta back up and pause here. Yes. It is sometimes you just have to give yourself permission to regroup in the conversation.
Because it's such
For
human nature
certain.
to get distracted, solve problems, already be ready to come in with our reply. And then if we've
Yes.
got a bias towards what someone's saying as well then that adds another whole dimension to it.
Right. And we don't know what they're actually saying, right? Or what they're asking of us. So just finding that pause and recognizing, you know what? I got distracted for a second. Let me re-engage.
Yeah. I think that is so important. We have been trying to get this conversation together for quite a few weeks now. There's the universe finally complied, and we are having this conversation Sunday night for you, Monday for me, Monday morning. And I think we could talk for hours.
We could for hours.
There's so much, and
For
we'll
hours.
definitely stay connected, Deb, because I think there's a whole lot of resonance. And you get to Australia, I get back to the US, then we can reach out and connect in person. I always like to ask if there's three
Absolutely.
takeaway points out of all of the things that we've talked about, because it's been diverse and every single one of them we could have dug into them for hours. What would you like people to really remember and take away?
One, I think we have to go with practice the pause,
Yeah.
right? Give yourself permission to take a deep breath and see what else is going on around you or ask for, you know, clarification. Two, have the conversation. Allow yourself to have the conversation. And the third one I would say is widen your view.
Yeah.
Go after those really big goals. And widen your view of what's going to happen next.
Yes, and I will take that last one to the golf course also. That is great. And that there's 3 points out of everything that we've discussed. So practice the pause, have the conversation, do something that makes you uncomfortable, and then widen your view and include in that view something that you do for yourself that is for your health. Look, I know we haven't covered a lot on this as well, but I'm a huge advocate for moving the body every day, putting nutritious stuff in so that you get the best value out of what you can function. And I know so many other people, friends my age, are not doing that well. And it's because they just haven't put themselves first throughout their lives and made sure that they do those two things. So
We're going to have to come back and talk about this because I actually do believe that managing our days, building our book of business, and building our career goals and cultivating a healthy career to work together. And we can do it in very simple steps, but they absolutely all three need to support each other. And I always tell my clients if given the choice, if there's only room for one in a day, cultivate the healthy career first.
Yes. Yeah. The mindset, the physical capacity to get things done,
All of it.
it's all so, so high in value. I was
Yes.
talking about the birds. I've got two peewees and they've got a little nest out there with two babies in it. But the butcher
Yes.
birds, we have butcher birds, and they're determined to fight them off, and they're just flying backwards and forwards outside my window. So
That's
I got
hilarious. I
distracted,
love
but I
it.
know, definitely heard what you
I
said.
love it.
Deb,
There
how
we
can people get in touch with you? And how can they get your books as
go.
well?
Confine. My books are being sold on really all major book platforms. They're on Amazon, Barnes and Noble. I believe in multiple different markets. They're on many different booksellers. The Audible audiobook is actually me recording it. And I tell people it's like little mini podcast episodes and different, like just step by steps. But come find me on LinkedIn. And I'm also at debfetter.com. And just reach out. I love to have the conversation. I love to discuss just the ways that we can support each other and cultivate those next connections and the next really meaningful step in the conversation.
Absolutely. I love it. And please do, listeners, reach out and connect with Deb. I will have all of the connections, links and everything in the show notes. So wherever you are finding this podcast, you'll be able to follow her up from there. And thank you so much for your time today, Deb.
Thank you so much for having me.
It's been a lot of fun. And that's another episode of the We Are Women podcast. Remember, if you've got any questions or anything that you aren't sure about, if I can't help you, I have got a huge network of connections that I can refer you through to. So book a strategy call at JeaneVosper.com. I would love to have a conversation with you. Have a fantastic day, week, month, wherever you are in the world. And remember that you are the most important person in your life and treat yourself that way. Bye-bye for now.
So, do you feel stuck in a rut in business? Visit speechperfect.com.au and download Jeaneen's free ebook to avoid the 5 most common stumbling blocks women face in business. It's jam-packed full of tips to overcome the barriers that could be holding you back from the success that you dream your business will be. We would love you to leave a review of today's episode and share this podcast with other women in need of entrepreneurial inspiration. Subscribe to the next episode now and join the We Are Women community.